Welcome, everybody. This is Transforming Ministry Vision into Practical Strategy, and our speaker is Dennis Graham Parker. Yay! Yay!
So I want to talk about this very exciting topic. Really, it is transforming ministry vision into practical strategies. I want to give you the heads up is that we are busy in the process of actually implementing this with our staff team in our church. So I don't come to you as a phenomenal expert. I come to you as someone who has had to read and study and figure this stuff out, and we're busy implementing it. Maybe next year I'll have a workshop saying, this failed terribly. But no, I'm kidding. But the reality is, and we need to understand this, is that a vision with no plan is just a dream. We've probably heard that before. A plan without execution, do you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. And a plan without accountability is really us just keeping busy. Now, I want you to have a look at the screen, my very complex slide deck, as you will see by this very complex diagram. And if you remember nothing else about today, it's that. Okay, the largest part of the funnel right at the top there, that would be your overall vision. The smallest part right at the bottom, that is your outcome. And you need to get everything that's in your vision funneled through to impact your outcome. But I want to start with a question. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the situation where you have this real strong sense of vision, something compelling, like it's the fire that's been shut up in your bones and somehow you just need to get it out. But you've struggled with that vision. You've struggled to turn it into consistent results. You can't see it formed in the physical. And it wasn't because you didn't care. It wasn't because you weren't called. But somewhere between what we saw, maybe we saw it in our with our physical eyes, you saw it in the spirit, but there was this difference between what you saw and then what the outcome was. And things started to get fuzzy. There was a gap between the vision and the execution. And that oftentimes is where a lot of ministry frustration lives. And all the pastors said. Amen. And today I want to help us to try and close that gap. And we're busy with this in the church, and we've seen some successes, and we've hit some roadblocks. So please trust me, it's a work in progress. But here's the truth. A God-given vision, a Holy Spirit-inspired vision deserves more than just our good intentions. It deserves faithful execution. And so if you're taking notes or following the handout, thank you. We have run out of handouts, but they will be available on the website this coming week to be able to be downloaded. But it starts with God's vision and not ours, and we need to make sure that we don't get the two confused. Before we talk strategy, we have to talk about our source. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But that word vision isn't about creativity. It's not about just a grand idea. It's about revelation. Vision isn't something that we invent. It's actually something that we receive, something that's downloaded into us by the Spirit of God. Jesus didn't come and say, listen, come up with a good idea and come back to me and tell me what that's like. No, he had the idea. It's his design. He said, you, and all of us go and make disciples.
Right.
The mission's been given. The question is, how then we steward that as co-laborers of Christ Jesus? You know, I love the book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. But he describes what he calls level 5 leaders. Leaders who would combine deep humility with fierce resolve. And when I read that, I thought, well, oh, hold on. That's not just a thing that we see in a book, but I can think about it and it has a scriptural interpretation. That's Moses. That's Nehemiah. That's Paul. Leaders who will say, well, God, this is your vision. Thank you for this vision, right, but I will give everything, all of who I am, to see it fulfilled. Right. See, before anything else, vision is received before it's refined. Vision is received before it's executed. Vision is received before we take any steps at all. Our responsibility as leaders is to make the vision clear and compelling. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, you know it well, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. You see, I have a tablet. So he may run who reads it. You see, not make the vision poetic. Don't print a t-shirt yet. Don't put a banner yet. Make it plain. And here's the challenge in ministry. We often have vision, but it's a little bit vague, you know, because it might be in here, it might be in your spirit, but then when you bring it out and try and articulate it, it's vague. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give you an example. Those of you in our church, you know, our vision is quite long, doesn't fit on a t-shirt, but we've boiled it down to two words. Two words. Anyone here know what the two words are? Liberty Church? Oh, help us, Jesus. See, I told you we had some roadblocks. Two words, build and beautify. Oh, yeah. We need to make it plain. We say these things, and they're good things. We want to reach people. We want to grow spiritually. We want to impact the community. All those things are amazing. Carry on doing them. But really, none of that tells your team, tells your church what's going to happen at 5:45 on a Wednesday evening. It doesn't explain to them what's on the calendar and why it's on the calendar. Jesus, if you think about him, he was a master at this stuff. He would say, the kingdom of God is like, and then he would tell these stories so that people could understand. You see, clarity creates movement. Mm. Jim Collins, in his book Good to Great, he calls this the hedgehog concept. The hedgehog concept. In other words, boiling everything down to something that is simple and focused. We can tend to make it so complex because sometimes we think complex means that we're smart. It doesn't. There's another book. I like books. If you ask my wife, I like buying books and reading some of them. It's another book, but I highly recommend every single leader to read this book. It's a book called Leading Change, and the author is John Cotter. He says that a vision should be explainable in about 5 minutes. Nothing more than that. So here's the practical challenge for you. Don't do it now. Please, I'm busy. But can you summarize your ministry vision in one clear sentence? And then maybe if you really, really have to, you break it down in maybe 3 to 5 key priorities. Do you know what clarity is? Clarity is kindness to your team and to your church. It's kindness. Okay? Because, you know, leaders go at 100 miles an hour and they say many things very quickly and many things are going on. Clarity from you is kindness to your team. And then anchor your vision in time. Anchor your vision in time. And here, it's at this point, oftentimes the vision starts to break down. It starts to get very hazy. We have this beautifully clear picture, compelling picture, but there's no timeline. It's like, well, when Jesus comes. When I ask my kids, okay, what's happening? We have to go. Well, I've got one daughter in the house. She goes, I'm coming. I go, yeah, so is Christmas. Jesus is also coming soon. Can you give me some kind of measure here? You see, without time, vision just simply turns into someday. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Make the most of every single opportunity. If you're bringing people out during the week, you better make sure that every single minute of every single moment is valuable time, because you're asking them to give up that time where they could be doing anything else.
Yes.
Anchor your vision in time. That was a little bit off track, but very necessary. Every day is either steps that we take forward or steps that we take backwards. Time matters. Time, this is the thing with time. It's either your friend or your enemy. Make sure it's rather your friend.
Yes.
And this is where we need to think in terms of ministry rhythms. Lead pastors, I tell you something, big up to Pastor Jason Murphy. This guy's got that on steroids. I would recommend that you speak to him. Can I say that?
Yes.
I just did. It's recorded. So for us, we need to think in terms of this, especially when working with our teams. What are we believing for? This year? This quarter? This month? You see how it starts? This year? This quarter? This month? And so we move down the funnel. John Carter, in his book Leading Change, he talks about creating a sense of urgency. Notice I said urgency, not panic. There are people every single day less than a mile from your churches, and they are suffering. They are on the brink of suicide. They are wondering what to do with their lives. They are in a terrible state. Guess what? There is a sense of urgency that they come to meet Jesus.
Yes.
They have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what anyone says. That is urgent.
Amen.
So we create a sense of urgency, not panic, but focus. Laser focus. Because when everything matters equally, guess what happens? Nothing moves. Then everything's important, everything's urgent. So I would encourage leaders to define this. What does success look like 1 year from now? We gathered our staff together in January, and we set goals. Numerical goals. Oh yes, numerical goals. Numerical goals. Here's a metric that I'm deeply distressed about. Is there are still way too many people going to hell. There are still too many empty seats in all of our churches, and those spaces represent people that don't know Jesus yet, and right now their trajectory is eternal damnation. What does success look like a year from now? And this is not in abstract terms. It's visible and it's measurable. You see, because vision becomes powerful when it has a ticking clock attached to it. And then results that we can point at. And by the way, sometimes the results are not favorable. But they are results. We need to point to them, and we need to learn from them. And be transparent about them. We need to translate vision into concrete goals. How am I doing for time? 15 minutes. Okay, I can do this. Turn vision into concrete goals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. That's a leadership statement right there. He's saying, I know where I'm going. I know why. I know what needs to happen. And you know what? I will know if I'm getting there. Concrete goals. This is when we move from vision to goals. Because without goals, vision just stays just there, inspirational. It's nice. But it never becomes operational. And now in ministry, and sometimes we start to resist this part, don't we? We go, well, that's too corporate. That's like business does it. Oh, hold on. This is the kingdom of God. The stakes are literally life and death. I don't mind putting a goal to this. It's that important.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus himself gives specific instructions. Go to this town, stay in that house, and do these things.
Yes.
So we need to define What are our overall ministry goals? What are our department goals? And then, we don't escape this one, what are our individual goals? It's a simple structure. By this date, we will aim for this outcome, and it'll be measured by this indicator. And be that specific. It doesn't remove the spirituality from it. What it does is it stewards it. It stewards it. You know when people commit their lives to Christ on a Sunday morning or another meeting? You know that? Do we count them? No one. Thanks, Pastor Jason. Told you he was a good guy. We count them. Why? It matters. These are people's lives. Because what gets measured gets attention. And what gets attention then gets movement. We need to empower the team to then own the how. Might be the most important move or shift for any leader. We see in Exodus chapter 18, don't we? Jethro comes to Moses and says, listen, what you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. You can't do this all by yourself. And then he tells him to delegate. A big move for leaders. Leaders set direction. Teams build the pathways. We, as leaders, we need to lead, but free yourself. You don't have to come up with every strategy. In fact, if you do, you're actually limited. You're limiting the ministry. You become a bottleneck. One of the best things that you can say to your team is, here's the goal. Now, you go away and come back and tell me how you're going to achieve that goal. What happens when you do that is amazing. It creativity increases. People take ownership. And do you know what else happens? Oh, and this is a beautiful one. Accountability deepens. It's powerful. John Carter, in his book, he talks about building a guiding coalition. A group that will carry the vision together. Get the right people on the bus, Jim Collins again. And then do you know what you do? Oh, trust them. Trust them. Instead of saying, here's the vision, here's what you do, 6:45 on a Thursday, this is what will happen there, and this is how you get that done, and this is how you get it. No, trust them. You raise people, you release people. You ask them, how do you think we're going to get there? That question right there, leaving it to their creativity, can unlock more than we can ever imagine. And then we build rhythms of review and accountability. This, my friends, is where the rubber meets the road. Accountability. Many ministries at this point, many departments and churches might quietly drift because how we don't really like accountability. Not because the vision was wrong, but because there was no follow-up, because accountability is hard. We see in Luke chapter 16, don't we? One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Faithfulness is not just about our heart, it's about consistency. We need rhythms, not random check-ins. Intentional ones. End of the quarter, end of the month, end of the week, whatever it is. We know there's going to be a check-in. I need to be ready, good or bad. I got to be honest and transparent. In other words, what are we doing right now, weekly? Weekly, in your weekly meeting. I don't know whether you lead a team, a church, whatever it is. Weekly. We look at monthly. Are we actually making progress? Is the needle moving? Quarterly, are we moving towards the overall big goal for the year? And please hear my heart here. Monitoring progress is certainly not micromanaging. It's shepherding. Yes. And it's not just a play on words, please. That's not how I roll. It's shepherding. We read in Hebrews, don't we? To spur one another on. I know my biggest steps in ministry is because there was someone behind me spurring me on, is the best way to say it. And sometimes we need that because sometimes we get worn down. What gets reviewed gets refined. Yeah. And then we've got to adjust without losing the mission. Here's something that I hope will free you, is that even with the best planning, things will need to change. Things will need to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. You see in Acts chapter 16, don't you? Paul is traveling and they are redirected by the Holy Spirit. He had a plan. He knew where he was going. And because he was yielded to the Holy Spirit, he had to adjust. Mm-hmm. We can too. You know what? The Lord's going to show you things as you're on your journey. If you're not yielded to the Spirit, you could start 1 degree off and land up 50 degrees right. off. Then do you know what that means? In Google Maps terms, you're lost. So we need to hold two things differently. The mission is unchanging. The strategy, however, is adaptable. It's adaptable. I like to use this thing. The strategy is cast in sand. It's not cast in stone. We need to look at, okay, what's working? We need to look at what's not working. We need to think about, you know, what needs to change now? Who needs to change now? What do we need to shake up a little bit? Adjustment, friends, is not failure. It's faithfulness. It's faithfulness to the mission. And then do you know what? And I love this part. We need to celebrate wins and reinforce culture. Psalm 126. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Celebration matters. Because people will repeat whatever is recognized. It's just a truth. If all we ever talk about is what's not working, we drain the life out of our teams. In fact, I remember I started freaking our elders out at one point, actually for years at a time, because every prayer meeting we'd get together, I would pray for problems. Who wants problems? I want problems. I want parking problems. Right. I want seating problems. Yes, right. Yes, I want capacity problems. Yes. I want to run out of new believers material. I want those problems. Yes. I want us to run out of teachers for children's church. I want us to run out of classrooms for kids. I want those problems.
Yes, sir.
I tell you something. So when we cross a threshold of any kind, we need to stop and celebrate. Because you know what we do? We pause and we say, look at what God has done. Faith rises, energy rises, momentum builds. It's like people who even are worn down, they're like, yeah, let's go. John Carter talks about anchoring change in culture. In ministry, we do this through testimonies, stories, moments of gratitude. You know, those things don't just happen by the by. That's very intentional on the part of the leader. So don't skip it. You will regret it if you skip it. You'll be tempted to skip it. Why? Because it doesn't feel like it's productive, but it's actually essential to your productivity and outcomes, producing fruit. Celebrate along the way. You know, We've got a diner up the road that I go to about 47 times a week. Don't judge me.
Blue Ribbon.
And you know what? Sometimes if we're celebrating a win, we just take the staff out to the diner. And we hang out for an hour and we just chat and we go, oh, isn't God awesome? And do you know what? Small thing, small celebration, and then we move on. Do you know what? I found that's actually good to do. Yeah. It's good to do. Yeah. I can't remember where I was. Oh, yes. Point nine. I know, 5 minutes. Keep it all rooted in spiritual health. It's the foundation of everything. Please don't lose this. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
No thing. We can have clear vision and a strong strategy, and we can have excellent systems, and everybody can reply on Planning Center, praise Jesus, you know, but we can still burn out and not see fruit if we're not abiding in the vine. Ministry is not just leadership. please know this, ministry is actually dependence and it's surrender. So as you build strategies, don't lose prayer. Oh, I could speak so much just on that. Don't lose discernment. Don't lose being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because strategy is not a substitute for the presence of God. It's an instrument in the hands of people who remain connected to Him. And I want to give you lastly a clear framework to carry with you, and I'm going to move through this quickly. The clear pathway. Clarify the vision. Limit the time frame. Establish goals. Activate the team. Review and refine. Anyone need me to read that again?
Yes, yes.
Clarify the vision. Limit the time frame. Establish goals. Activate the team. Review and refine. If you do those things consistently, you will start to close the gap between vision and reality, vision and outcomes. Friends, vision is spiritual, strategy is stewardship. So let us be leaders who don't just dream well, but lead in a way that produces real, transformational and lasting fruit. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.